You would turn in your Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 7. Started a message last week on Melchizedek, and just tried to answer some questions generally about who he was. And I think the Bible has really a lot to say about him. We went over all the verses where he is actually mentioned in the Old Testament. He is set forth in Genesis 14, 18, and Psalm 110 and verse 4. And then he's referenced 9 times in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 and 6 and 7. He is mentioned, and really, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Now, you notice something about him. He is described as a priest of the Most High God, El Elyon. He was a worshiper of the true and the living God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So, just from these verses, and just as a little bit of review, we learn that Melchizedek was a contemporary of Abraham, who met him after Abraham had rescued Lot and his family from the invasion and the captivity of the neighboring kings. He is described as a king of Salem, ancient Jerusalem, and a priest of the Most High God. We learn here in chapter 7 that Melchizedek was superior to Abraham in several different ways. He was a king and a priest, and he was also the one that gave Abraham the blessing after he had rescued Lot. And Abraham received that blessing, and he recognized Melchizedek by giving him a tithe, and he blessed, and then Melchizedek blessed him. Now, verse 4 says, consider how great this man was. He was a literal, historical figure. He was a man. Now, his lineage is not revealed like the lineage of the line of the Levites and the high priesthood, the sons of Aaron. They're listed in a genealogy. We don't have the pedigree of Melchizedek. We don't know who his mother or his father was. We don't know when he was born. We don't know when he died. So in that respect, he's different from the Levitical priests. Now, the writer of Hebrews, when you read chapter 7, he emphasized the priesthood of Melchizedek as being superior to the Levitical Aaronic priesthood by comparing him by way of type to the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, there's no comparison in the sense that he was a great man, but he's not as great as Christ. Our Lord, I just finished the book of Hebrews, and the entire book is a testament to the fact that Jesus Christ is greater than all. Greater than all the prophets in the Old Testament that God raised up to preach and to to write his word. Jesus Christ literally is God's final word. He is the living word. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than the Levitical priesthood. He's greater than the terms of the old covenant and the law that it represented. His sacrifice is greater. Everything about Jesus Christ is superior. And the book of Hebrews really, really points that out. Now tonight, just very briefly, there are several characteristics of Melchizedek and his priesthood that pointed to Christ by way of type and similitude. And it's in this sense that Christ is said to be after the order of Melchizedek. As stated in Psalm 110, verse 4, Hebrews 6, verse 20, and Hebrews 7, 17. Melchizedek was called the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. Now, certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate King of Righteousness. He reigns in and over all of His elect, and He is the only one that is capable of imputing and imparting righteousness to God's people to make them accepted in the Beloved, complete in Him, so that they stand before God righteous. In the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices offered, all of those offerings, not one of them had the ability to impute righteousness to those who were looking by faith to the coming of Christ, the Messiah. But when Jesus Christ came, He, as our great high priest, as our sacrifice, offered Himself, gave of His merits, His obedience on the cross, shed His blood, and in return we get the very righteousness of God. He is the King of Righteousness in the truest sense of the word. We receive that righteousness by way of imputation at the moment of saving faith. None of the Old Testament sacrifices could impute righteousness to those who were trusting in those, in looking forward to those sacrifices. Christ had to die. See, none of those sacrifices could ever put away sins, could ever take away one sin. When Jesus Christ came, He came to put away, take away, purge, cleanse, remove all of our sins. He took them away, and now we stand before God as righteous. Now, He's also, and so in this sense, Jesus is superior to both Melchizedek and Aaron, neither of which could confer or impute righteousness to those they represented. Jesus Christ is also the King of Peace. And in a much greater sense than Melchizedek, He brings both peace with God, justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, He's the King of Peace in the sense that He is able to give us the peace of God, His sanctifying, imparted righteousness as He works in us. Again, neither Melchizedek or any of the Old Testament Levitical Aaronic priesthood could give judicial or inner peace to those that they represented in the way that Jesus Christ does. Melchizedek was not in the Levitical genealogy, and neither was the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet both were deemed superior to the Levitical, the Aaronic priesthood. Melchizedek was not limited to the restrictions placed on the Levitical priests as to when they were to begin and end their ministry. So also with the Lord Jesus in a much greater way. He conquered death when He rose from the dead victoriously and now ever lives to make intercession for all those that He came to die for. In every respect, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the type set forth in the person of Melchizedek and excelled him in every way as well by displaying his perfections as our great high priest. I love the chapter 10 where the writer is quoting a messianic psalm, and it's as if Christ is speaking. And it amazes me. The Old Testament priests, we think about the animals they offered. Well, in the New Covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself, that His body was prepared from the foundation of the world and was brought into existence in a most miraculous way. And I love the teaching in Hebrews 10 where it says in verse 5 or verse 4, "For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Those were the sacrifices and offerings prepared by the priests to offer. They couldn't take away sins. But it says in verse 5, "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world," the Lord Jesus, "He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." That's the Lord Jesus. He came to do the will of God in the body that God had appointed Him, and that God, the Holy Spirit, had miraculously brought forth in the womb of a virgin. So He would be a perfect and a holy sacrifice. Verse 8 above, when He said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said He, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first that He may establish the second. He was establishing the new covenant, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He's not just the priest to offer, but He is the sacrifice as well. The only perfect sacrifice, the only one that satisfies the justice and holiness of God. Verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Their work was never done. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The work was finished. "From henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." I want to close with the insight of A.W. Pink as he really contrasted Melchizedek and the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 7. "The Spirit here jealously guards the honor of Him whom it is His office and delight to glorify. He hereby intimates to the Hebrews that though Melchizedek were such an excellent person, yet he was infinitely beneath him whom he represented. The typical person was but man, the antitype divine. Furthermore, one who was more than mortal was required in order to fulfill that which Melchizedek foreshadowed. He who should be capable of discharging an always living, constant, abiding, uninterrupted priesthood must be the Son of God. In the first three verses of Hebrews 7, the apostle mentions those details in which Melchizedek resembled the great and glorious priest of Christianity. In verses 4 to 10, he applies the type unto his immediate purpose and design. Having affirmed that Christ, the promised Messiah, was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and having given a description of the person and office of that typical character from the inspired narrative of Moses in Genesis 14, he now dwells upon various details in the type in order to establish the argument which he has in hand. That which the apostle particularly designed to prove was that a more excellent priesthood than that of Aaron's, having been introduced according to the purpose and promise of God, it necessarily followed that the ceremonies and institutions connected with it had now been abolished. That's our lesson. Let's all stand.